Now, I can't believe that back in 2016, I talked to my last guest. It is Amanda J. Thomas, and she's an author, linguist and historian. And we're going to be having a chat with her today. Can you believe it was 2016 when you were last in the studio?
I really can't. It seems like yesterday.
Doesn't it? And how are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I've got a bit of a cold, but I'm all right. Thanks, Michelle. It's really lovely to be back on the show again.
Last time we spoke to you, we spoke about your book, Cholera, yes. The Victorian Plague. That's actually in second. Second edition. So tell everybody about the book.
Okay, well, it's about the history of cholera, which is one of the world's biggest pandemics, and yeah. Of course it's still raging as well, particularly places like Haiti and also in the Yemen. Very, very poignant today as well with COVID and, you know, any disease, really. Disease is a very interesting thing because it touches all of our lives. It's changed the world. It causes wars. So, excuse me, where the book's concerned, I mean, Britain was particularly touched by cholera in the Victorian era, in the 19th century. So that's really what the book focuses on. Yeah. But it does also go back and talks about how disease has changed things right from the plague.
Yeah. And was there much treatment? Was there a treatment back in when it first kicked off? Or was it just if you got it, that was the end of you?
Well, it depended. I mean, it depended who you were. If you're in reasonable health, which is still the case today, actually, if you catch cholera, then you were quite likely to survive, which is why the majority of people who were poor, badly nourished, so that your intestine health is very, very important where this is concerned. But no, there was no cure at all. They didn't understand what caused it. I mean, they thought that what caused disease in those days was miasma or bad smells. So, and because cholera is generally a waterborne disease, if you're living in an area which is very poor, where you're drinking water and your food can be tainted by the bacteria, then obviously bad smells are going to seem like the cause, which is why that... that myth proliferated, really. Although there is actually some evidence, and I've been working on this with people in working in science today, that there is a possibility that because it's a waterborne disease, you could actually breathe it in droplets in the air. So that's something which, you know, it's a little bit controversial, but an interesting thought, again, particularly today with COVID, you know, how much do we breathe in? How much do you get because you've got dirty hands?
Yes, absolutely. So that book is in the second edition, and that you can find that online, and we'll give all the details out at the end. So we just talk about your writing to start with. When did you first start writing, and when did you know that history was going to be your passion?
I'm afraid I came out of the womb. My grandfather was a writer, not that he had anything major published, but no, I mean, I started writing stories at infant school, but it wasn't until probably I got to the age of about 14 that I realised that that was what I wanted to do as a living. And started my career as a journalist, basically, out of university. Yeah. Worked in journalism, worked in PR. And then after having children, Alex and Georgie, I then started writing books as a result of a lot of the magazine work that I'd done, actually. Writing, I got very interested in cholera and why people had died of it. And that was how my very first book about cholera in Lambeth started back in, 2009?
Wow. Do you think you might ever write anything on COVID, or are you not sure?
I don't think so. I think I'd leave that up to the people who are real experts on flu viruses and coronaviruses. It's a little bit too controversial. I mean, my books are pretty controversial, but I think that's sort of going through a bit of a barrier that probably, I think I'll leave that to others. I'm always being asked, though, to comment on it because of the work that I've done on cholera. And because there are so many parallels. Not least, you know, the fact that it's so hygiene related, and that, you know, is a really big thing, of course, with COVID as well. So, you know, I'll never say never. And one of the things that I do is that I tend to be asked to appear in television documentaries talking about it, because obviously a lot of people's ancestors have died of cholera, and also it very much shaped the way that London grew and developed throughout the Victorian era up to the modern day.
Yes, and I was going to say, actually, before we talk about the new book, you were actually on Who Do You Think They Are?
Yeah, I've done a lot of work for Who Do You Think You Are? I know a lot of the people who I've worked with at Pen and Sword, who is my wonderful, wonderful publisher, they also have moved to Who Do You Think You Are? There's a lot of sort of crossover there. And so, yeah, because of the work on Cora, I've done a lot of background work. I worked specifically on the Gary Lineker Who Do You Think You Are? But also I did a lot of the research for the Charles Dance Who Do You Think You Are? And a couple of other people as well.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful, wonderful program to work on. And frustrating, though, as well, because, I mean, particularly, excuse me, keep clearing my throat, particularly where Gary Lineker was concerned, you know, you discover all of these things and you say to the other researchers, oh, wouldn't it be fantastic to include this as well?
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, but it's not part of the thread because you don't know who else is working on it and what else they're doing.
Yeah.
So you discover something about an ancestor and they say, yeah, but that kind of doesn't fit in with the narrative. So let's stick with this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So you're thinking, oh. So then I think, oh, well, maybe I'll, not obviously mentioning famous people in a book, but I think, well, actually, that's quite a fascinating research line to go down. And I love going down little rabbit holes, and it's quite interesting what you do discover by doing that.
Yes.
You know, lots of little fascinating tidbits. But actually, sadly, the piece that I filmed with Gary Lineker for Who Do You Think You Are wasn't broadcast. It was a bit of a step too far. I mean, for people who remember that particular show, it wasn't exactly a happy, uplifting experience for him, sadly, or even for the viewer, really, because there were a lot of very, very sad things in, and I think that Cholera really was, poor Gary, a step too far.
Yeah.
but it's been a fantastic background piece for, as I say, for the show and for other people as well. So I'm very happy to, you know, keep doing that.
Now, the new work is called The Nonconformist Revolution. So tell us about the book.
Well, it's something that's been in my head for a very, very long time. And there's all sorts of interesting little bits and bobs. Again, little sort of, you know, going down the rabbit hole things. But the essence of it really is realising that nonconformists, in other words, people who are Protestant dissenters, were incredibly influential in the development of modern society in Britain, also in other places as well, like in the United States, for example. Their influence is far-ranging, but I began to get interested in this idea of why some people are able to think out of the box and others don't a long time ago, and also realizing that so many of the great thinkers, the great industrialists of the Victorian age were nonconformists. So they might have been Quakers, or they might have been Methodists or Baptists, or even people who were, you know, outright atheists at a time when it was actually quite radical to think like that. But it traces the thread right back to the Anglo-Saxon period, to the medieval period, and again back to the plague, to the Black Death, when people became, well, people started to question their relationship with God. Why has God allowed so many people to die? And tracing that disillusionment, if you like, and that very daring ability to question your existence, to question the possibility that you will be eternally saved by God. And of course, that allows you to then start exploring other areas, and particularly, as I said before, industrial innovation and scientific innovation as well. So you see this wonderful thread. In fact, the book at the back has got 9 massive family trees which show how all these different people are connected to each other and how they all influenced each other, and ultimately how they shaped our modern world.
That's The Nonconformist Revolution, and that is out now. And we must talk about the Clock Tower, because you do, you always seem to be working and doing so much, and you have time to edit that as well.
Yeah, it's a historical journal. Okay, big shout out for the Medway Towns over the estuary and to the Medway Archives Centre as well. Closed at the moment, sadly, because of lockdown. But I do a huge amount of work promoting the heritage of the Medway Town, which obviously sometimes, you know, spreads over into Essex as well. My husband was born in Romford, so, you know, we're very much from the southeast.
Yes.
And I really, really, you know, I was born in Chatham, and for me it's a really big thing to big up the Medway Towns and to big up their incredible, fascinating heritage. Charles Dickens, Chatham Dockyard. So the clock tower talks about all of these things, talks about what's happening at the moment in the Medway Towns, just really promoting that understanding that every area in the country has its own fascinating heritage. And I think that if you can do something to help promote that and to get people interested in the history of a particular area, oh, it's a fabulous thing to do. And I work with so many wonderful, wonderful people down there.
Yes.
And well, all over the country, really, when I go and give talks and if I'm on the telly or on the radio like today, you know, I'm very lucky.
And also you're part of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists,
yes.
And also Brentwood Writers Circle as well.
I am, and the Society of Authors, don't
forget. Society of Authors as well.
I mean, Sylvia Kent and I go back a fair bit with the SWWJ and also Brentwood, who I hope lots of them are listening today, and wonderful group to belong to, both SWWJ and Brentwood Writers, and I mean, a huge amount of good that everybody does, a lot of charity work with the book about Essex that's out at the moment, raising money for, I can't remember which hospital it is in Essex because I actually live in Hertfordshire. But yeah, I mean, everybody does fantastic, fantastic work. So again, I'm very, very lucky to be a part of both of those groups and to be able to share the love.
Excellent. Now, if people want to find out more, it's all the W's, ajthomas.com, or you can go to penandsword.com and you can get copies of the book there. And just very quickly, I mentioned just off air about your work as a linguist. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, again, I think that, you know, talking and writing tend to go hand in hand. And I've always been really fascinated, well, in history, like we said before, my father was a massive influence in the Medway Towns, going around Rochester Cathedral, going around the castle and the museum. Been interested in history for a long time. It's kind of a natural step to become interested in the history of language as well. And I went to the University of Kent at Canterbury and I read Italian there, and I was very lucky. In my year abroad in Turin, I decided I was going to do something again very non-conformist, out of the box. Rather than teaching, I decided to enroll at Turin University. And I was really, really lucky, in the right place at the right time, that there was an interesting woman working there at the time, Portia Giannia, who was taking a course, or gave a course, rather, on the history of Indo-European languages. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my God, this is what I've been thinking about all these years. Yeah, where does our language come from? What's the background? And, you know, how do all these languages, you know that French and Italian are very similar, and Spanish as well. Romance languages have a common thread. I suppose this also is a lot of the basis as well of the nonconformist revolution. You know, how are these things all connected together?
Yeah.
And did a course there for a year. I did the exam in it as well. I mean, an eternal masochist. And languages in Italy as well. I'm not entirely sure what the system is now, but you give them verbally. And so, you know, you sit there in front of your peer group and you give the exam. But the history of Indo-European languages is something which has fascinated me since then and continues to do so. I love being able to talk in other languages. Italian is my second language. And to be able to converse with other people, to understand other cultures, and to be able to get what other people are doing and saying, I think is magical. And again, it's fortunate to be able to do that. I also, on social media, I do talk to other people, particularly in Italy. I have a wonderful, wonderful friend in Italy who actually writes book reviews for Pen and Sword, and he has done a tremendous, tremendous job publicising my work on the continent. And I can see also when I watch how the how the threads go on social media, that being able to promote your book in that sort of global way has a little bit of a domino effect, because it starts bringing in people from other countries.
Yes.
Also, I have dual nationality. My father, my wonderful father, fascinated in history, is Australian. So I have a huge family in Australia, something I've written about as well for Brentwood Writers. Mm. And I can see how they're drawn in as well by me talking to people in other countries. And, you know, it's nice to have that global conversation, and for people to be able to join in with a discussion which, you know, a few years ago would have just been confined to, you know, who you know in your own little circle. It's a wonderful thing, yes, to be able to touch people in other places.
It is, and I've got this message. I'll just read it out, but just before we end the interview. Brilliant writer, Amanda J. Thomas, who also happens to be my mother, is on Phoenix FM today talking about her writing and historical books. They are, of course, the second best thing she has ever produced after me, and that's from Georgina.
Yeah, that's my daughter. I know she's listening as well. She's wonderful. My daughter, Georgina, is the most fabulous stand-up comedian. Can your listeners also please Google her and go and see some of her shows? Obviously, highly compromised at the moment because of lockdown, but she's going to do wonderful, wonderful things. So, yeah, she is my greatest creation, most definitely.
Oh, we'll have to do an interview with her, because I love to interview a comedian. So, Georgina, I know you're listening. Get in contact. I've just followed you on Twitter. There we go. It's all sorted out.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll get her on for an interview. It's been wonderful to talk to you, Amanda. You're so interesting.
Oh, thank you.
And don't forget, if you want to get a copy of any of Amanda's books, you can go and have a look online at the website, which is all the W's, ajthomas.com or penandsword.com. And as Amanda mentioned earlier, The Nonconformist, the book is out now. And you've also got the other book on cholera, the Victorian plague, as well. But there's loads of stuff, so do check you out online. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, and we'll do it again soon, I hope.
I think we will, and your daughter will be my next interview. I'll get her on for next week or the week after.
Oh, how wonderful. She'll be thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. Thank you so much.
Lovely. You're welcome. You take care. Thanks
you
for talking
too.
To us.
Speak
thank
soon.
You bye-bye. Bye-bye. Oh, what a fantastic chat that was really, really interesting. And do check out The Nonconformist Revolution. That book is out now, and you can find out all the details, as I mentioned earlier, ajthomas.com.